And so today we're looking at Isaiah chapter 12, and it's a very simple portion, and it's short, only six verses. It's sort of a hymn of praise, but prophetically, looking to the time when the redeemed shall be established in the earth in the millennium, particularly, and most importantly, the people of Israel. That's the focus of the passage. And we saw in chapter 11 that a branch would come out of the house of Jesse, the Messiah, and he would bring righteousness to the earth, and the salvation would come to the Gentiles. But now we get a call to praise. In fact, you can divide the chapter up into two sections, verse 1 to 3, and then verse 4 to 6. And each of these sections begin with the expression, in that day. And I would just say this in connection with that expression, is that you find it often in the prophets, in that day. And when you see it, more often than not, generally, mostly always, it means the day of the Lord, that is the millennial kingdom, is looking forward to the age to come, or the world to come, the millennial kingdom of Christ. So it's prefaced by in that day. Sometimes it looks at the judgments that will precede that day, or the day of the Lord, but extending out also into the actual kingdom age and the blessings of that age. And so in verse 1 to 3, it speaks of the fact that Israel now is looking back to their past, when God had been angry with them for their sins. And we can trace even today their history. No nation like Israel has gone through what Israel has passed through. And yes, God was angry with them. But now that salvation has come. You know, the Lord Jesus has come and has delivered his godly remnant and is establishing them in the earth. And so they sing. Verse 2, it says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord, or Yah, literally Yah, Jehovah is my strength and my song. He's also become my salvation. Therefore, with joy, we shall draw. Shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation? So, yeah, looking back to their past, God had been angry, and now it's a time of salvation. God has intervened for them, and they're singing to him. I should say that in verse 2, it's almost identical with what we get in Exodus chapter 15, verse 2, where we get the song of Moses, you know, when Israel had been taken out of Egypt and have passed through the Red Sea, and then they would sing this song. And it's the wording is almost identical, that the Lord has become my strength and my song. And this is one of the features we have in the Bible, is that first comes salvation, and then after salvation comes singing. The singing always follows the salvation. If you look at, for example, Isaiah chapter 53, I'm not going to turn to it, but if you look at it, we see the great sufferings of Messiah and what he passed through, that he was the Jehovah bruised him for our sins and for our iniquity and so on. And then when you come to the first verse of chapter 54 of Isaiah, the first word we get is sing. Same in Exodus, after they pass through the Red Sea, and then we get singing. So singing is the result of salvation. We sing the new song that the Lord has put in our hearts. Not the old song, not the song of the world. The song of the world is the song of the drunkards. For example, Psalm 69:12 speaks of that, the song of the drunkard. the world tries to numb itself because of its sin and cover it up with this type of entertainment and so on. But when one really knows salvation, it's a new song. And we're singing about the deliverance that the Lord has wrought for us. And we are no longer under the condemnation of God. And a bright future has opened up for us. Indeed, the wells of salvation. But I'm just applying that to us as believers. But let's not make a mistake here, that specifically we have to interpret this prophecy in connection with the people of Israel, and in a future coming day. We get some interesting things here in connection with the name of God. First of all, in verse 2, God here is actually El, just E-L. That's the most essential name of God. It means mighty or powerful. This is the God that the nations know, you know, the unknown God, the God of, say, for example, the native peoples here in the North American continent, you know, the great spirit, the great creator, the all-powerful, the unknown God of the Greeks. This is El. But then we have two other names. So you get Yah and then Jehovah. They're related, related names. But Yah would suggest his intrinsic being, you know, his self-existent character, where Jehovah, rather, is more relative. It's his continuous eternal character, but also especially in relationship to his covenant people, that he's in covenant with people, with his people. And that may be the idea of Jehovah, the eternal, the self-existing one, but yet the God of relationship. So we get these names brought out to us. We get the wells of salvation open up, and we get the psalm, the song of the redeemed. And let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I believe that comes out in Psalm 104, and that's exactly what comes here. The redeemed of the Lord are singing because now they know salvation. And then we get the second section, and that also begins with the expression, in that day. But this also begins with praise the Lord. Notice in verse 4, and in that day shall you praise the Lord. We saw that in verse 1 in the first section, and in that day shalt thou say, O Lord, I will praise thee. So both sections begin with praising the Lord. But here the emphasis is a little different. Look at verse 5. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Because this salvation and this deliverance in this age to come, this millennial kingdom, will not be just known to the Jews, but it'll start there, but it'll extend out into all the earth, to the Gentile nations. The Lord will be known throughout all the earth. The knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And no one will say in that day, know the Lord, for all will know him from the least unto the greatest. And then we get in verse 6, cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, now this is the people of Israel, for great is the Holy One of Israel, who is in the midst of thee, the one who is in the midst of the redeemed people. And this is a wonderful expression. It's a principle in God's word. Whenever we get redemption, then we get the dwelling of God in the midst of his people. This is his purpose. You know, God didn't dwell with Adam. He walked with him temporarily. God didn't dwell with Abraham. He visited him. But after we get the redemption brought out in the book of Exodus, the Passover lamb sacrificed and brought through the Red Sea, then we get God asking the people or telling the people to build a sanctuary that he may dwell in their midst. And this is a principle that once redemption has come in, then God takes his place, dwelling in the midst of his people. But again, here it's in the millennium. That's what's coming. And I would refer you to two verses in particular in connection with that, where we get the same thing. One is in Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 3, and I'll just read the verse for you. The section, of course, starts again with that expression, in that day. That's in verse 11. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 11. In that day shalt thou not be ashamed for all thy doings wherein thou hast transgressed against me, for then I will take away out of the midst of thee them that rejoice pride and so in pride and so on. But I will leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. And there we get the saved remnant brought out. But notice verse 14. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all thy heart, with all thy heart. And then we drop down to verse 17. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, and he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love, and he will joy over thee with singing. And there we get it. He will rejoice over his people, and he will dwell in their midst. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. And then we get the same thing in Zechariah chapter 2, where it says, verse 10, sing and rejoice. Here we get singing again. It's the millennium, the introduction to the millennium. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I am come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. And many nations shall be joined unto the Lord in that day. There we get that expression again, in that day. and shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of thee that is in Israel, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto thee. So Israel will be blessed, the Lord will dwell in their midst, and then the nations also, the salvation will extend out to the nations generally, and they too will be blessed. All the nations of the world will be blessed in the seed of Abraham. Now, that is the interpretation. By way of application, we can say that we can know this dwelling of the Lord in our midst now as believers. The Lord said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And then we find in Ephesians chapter 1 and 2, where it speaks of the Lord, what he's building. He's building the structure, a habitation of God through the Spirit or by the Spirit, a dwelling place of God. And that's not what these verses in Isaiah chapter 12 are speaking about. Prophetically, it's speaking about Israel. But by way of application, the principle is the same for us, the redeemed of this dispensation, of this age. This is something that we know. And I hope that we all appreciate, because it's only for the redeemed. It's not to do with a denominational structure. It's not to do with organizing. You know, I just read on Twitter, a man who has a ministry about renewing churches when they're in decline, and these are the certain things you can do, you know, put the new name up, a new sign up, and get a new minister, and all these sorts of things. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about here when the redeemed, a simple company of two or three that know in their hearts that the Lord Jesus has redeemed them, that they're sealed with the Spirit of God, can come together and be assured of the promise of the Lord Jesus in their midst. Well, may the Lord encourage you with these few thoughts, and just enjoy this wonderful chapter 12 of Isaiah as a result of Messiah's salvation. In that day, they will sing, and they will draw water out of the wells of salvation, and God, even Jehovah, will dwell in their midst. Amen.